This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hi there, this is Gloria Garcia, the Jakku defender in Star Wars The Force Awakens, and we're listening to Talk Star Wars podcast.
Gloria Garcia, welcome to Talk Star Wars.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy to be on.
That's great. And congratulations on The Force Awakens. It's an incredible success.
Oh my God. It's been an incredible experience. I've got to tell you.
So, I mean, this is probably the biggest cinematic event in history, potentially.
And yeah.
You're a part of it. That must feel bewildering.
You know what? It's so funny how there was one day that it just completely dawned on me what was going on, because you know, you turn on the news or every other commercial or every other thing is, you know, you hear the music, you see a clip, you know, you walk past the theaters, it's all, and you just go, this is absolutely surreal. And then every time I hear something back from like a fan and this, you know, a dedicated Star Wars fan, you go, my God, they are talking to me and they're asking me questions. And how weird is that?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Twitter went mad for you. There's all kinds of things for you on Twitter, isn't there?
Oh, my God. Well, I think Twitter is just this whole like gamut within itself where you go, my God, it's a whole other world. But then to be intertwined with people, you know, of the number one movie who have been waiting for it now for, you know, 10 years for this comeback, and to be within the first, you know, few minutes of this comeback and like have presence in that first 4 minutes is just it's unbelievable, actually.
Because for a lot of people like us old timers that you're talking to, we've been waiting for 30 years. bigger for us.
Hey, well, listen, I've been waiting too. When you see the likes of Harrison Ford on and you go, God, he's so attractive, he's older now but he's so attractive, you go, oh my God, like I remember the first one.
So are these the Star Wars films? You've grown up with them. Have you been a fan of the movies for a long time?
Yeah, completely. How can you not be? I mean, you know, come on. It really is the best. Like, you know, it's not, I hate to call it like a series. It's not even a series. It's just the whole storytelling. It's, you know, and you knew back 10 years ago it was never ending. It was just inevitable it was coming back. Like, we all knew that. All the quote-unquote adults knew that, right?
Yeah, the adults in the loosest possible term. Yeah.
And coming back.
It's coming back.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, it's absolutely right.
Yeah, it came back pretty strong.
It did. It really did. And it's funny because, you know, I think everybody's, how do you say it? I almost felt like before it came out, everybody almost wanted to not like it, or they almost wanted to hate it, or they almost wanted to go, oh, that wasn't as good, or that's, you know, this was different than that, and they should have done that, and this should, and it's gotten an incredible response. Like, everybody is just digging it, and how can you not, you know? So it's really great to know that it's not only come out after 10 years, but after the 10 years, it's just as fantastic as it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Really? I can't imagine anyone not liking it. Can you, Steve?
That's what I was going to say. It's been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, full disclosure. Steve wasn't sold initially, but
really,
after we hit him with a barrage of screenings, he's we've turned him around.
After we've spoken about it and waxed lyrical about it for about 15 hours, and I saw it again last night on IMAX in 3D. And,
did you?
I really liked it.
We were there together. We cheered for you.
Yeah,
we did.
You guys are awesome. See, I haven't seen it in 3D yet.
To see, Gloria, you need to see it in IMAX 3D.
I have not seen it in IMAX 3D yet. I've gone to our you know, my local theater, you know, the one with the kickback lounge chairs and the martinis.
No, that sounds like another way. There you go, boys. We've got another viewing now. We're going to need to go for the martini screening.
Pop
you have to.
Flight. Get yourself over here. We'll take you to the movies.
Oh my God!
You're in the UK, aren't you, Gloria?
You're in the UK.
Yeah, I'm in central London. I'm in. Can I say out loud? I'm in Hampstead. Yeah. I'm in Hampstead. So yeah, this the Hampstead Theatre here.
Yeah, we're just down the road from you. We'll do that. We'll treat you to an IMAX screening.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, with that. And your husband was in the movie as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, he
there you
was.
Go. You have to bring him down as well.
You know what? Kudos to him. That's how it all got started.
I was going to ask, actually. Yeah, what was the path to Star Wars for you?
Well, my God. Do you know that one day he came home and said that he had gotten stopped by this girl, you know, like a just like a street casting. And they were looking for people with dark skin and really light eyes. And he, you know, has dark skin and light blue eyes. And he's like, oh, okay, maybe, I don't know, you know, because he's a music producer. So, you know, he's not bothered with all this stuff. And he goes, oh, but, you know, my wife would probably be loving this. He goes, let me give you, you know, her information or whatever. So I ended up contacting the casting company, and they, you know, took my name, my photographs and everything. And the next thing you know, we were booked for, you know, more than a month on what was this secret film. Wow. Because they just didn't tell anybody what it was. Mm-hmm. And then later on, you know, it was 2 days prior to when it was supposed to start, when we were booked. And they reached out to me and said that they didn't need me anymore. And I was so bummed because I thought, ah, like, you know, it just would have been cool. I didn't even know what it was yet. And then but my husband still, they still wanted my husband. And then the day before, they called me and they're like, you know, Gloria, can you still come? I go, are you kidding me? Of course. And so, you know, we showed up and he had gone for like a fitting before, but, you know, you are under strict rule. They do not, you are not allowed to say anything to anybody about what it is, even to your spouse, significant other, nothing, family. Like there is, you are under strict rules not to say anything. And anyway, we ended up on, you know, the Star Wars set. And it is one of those moments in life that you will, it's like your wedding day. Well, you hope at least. that you never forget that moment, because it's almost just like so untrue yet true to form, where it's just mind blowing. Because you go, I can't believe this is happening right now.
So when was it revealed to you that it was the new Star Wars movie then? Was it quite late in the day?
When we ended up going, when I ended up going for the fitting, which was not too much, you know, which was the day before, because they didn't need me anymore. So when I went for the fitting, but then when, you know, he had known, my husband had known, but he didn't tell me what it was. Because you're not allowed.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's impressive.
Cool, so, that just.
It's yeah, it goes to show you how strict in rules they were with, you know, not letting you know what was what. So finally, so we ended up going for the fitting. I ended up going for the fitting, and then they dress you, and then you're in this this just incredible, like, huge place in Pinewood Studios. And what was the theme of who we were, you know, everybody was dark skin and really light eyes. And so there was a consistency and a theme on who we were. So we had our own story, which I think is yet to be revealed.
Is this the, because are you affiliated with the Church of the Force? Is it something like that?
Yes, yes.
There you see, guys, I pay attention.
In Jakku.
Yes. Yeah, so the defenders of Jakku are all, at least in that village, related to the Church of the Force.
Yes.
And Max von Sydow, I take it, is the elder or the chief of this church.
Yes. I got to tell you, he's just, his presence on set is really something to behold.
Because he's a legend as well.
Yeah, I mean, a legend. And then he just walks on set and you go, my God. But with such grace and elegance, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when did this film, when was principal photography at Pinewood? Would that be about 2 years ago now?
Almost, yeah. God, it had to be like a year and a half to 2 years ago.
Wow.
So we've had to keep, everybody had to keep it hush-hush for this
insane.
Long.
That's insane. I don't know how you manage that.
And you have to understand, too, that when we were on set, you know, the second we got on set, they would take your phones, they would take any type of, you know, computer or phone, you know, anything that you had. They took it. You were not allowed to do anything. So I remember there was an uproar. I think somebody let out some photographs in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, they were in a little bit of trouble about that because they were, you know, you were not allowed to take photographs. And then on set too, when we were, you know, outside at Pinewood, we would be covered from head to toe, so you couldn't see what we had on because there were drones and, you know, the press and media were just, of course, all over Pinewood trying to see what was going on. And so they weren't having any of that. So they made sure everybody was covered. We were all secure. And that was that.
Filming Star Wars in the modern world. Not quite so simple these days, is it?
Right.
About the drones. We've seen them outside our house. I don't even want to get undressed in my bed anymore. I'm frightened.
I don't blame you.
I have to make sure the heating's on just in case.
I don't blame you. I always think about, oh my God, which movie was it with Ray Liotta where he was in the car and his nice big old car and the helicopter was following him?
Oh, it's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Yeah. Yeah, I always think about that, like somebody following somebody around.
Right, well, we let a few people know that you were going to be on tonight, and we've got a couple of listener questions that we want to throw at you, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
This is we've got a regular emailer on the show. He's a loyal, dedicated Star Wars fan. His name's Rob. No surprise to the guys that's the guy that emailed
me. Hi, Rob.
He wanted to ask, he's got two questions. First one he's thrown out is, how heavy was that rifle that you were holding?
Wow, that is a good question. It was heavy. It was heavy. I mean, those rifles that were made, they were all custom made. His name was Alan, and he was this great guy and super creative, super inventive, and he made all of these. So they were pretty heavy. They were pretty significant. I mean, when you pull the trigger, you know, the sounds and the colors that would come from it, it was pretty real.
And am I right in saying that you've got some personal experience with firearms?
Yes. I do. I'm an ex Cook County sheriff from Chicago.
Wow. That is amazing.
From the
sheriff's department to the defender of Jakku. That's one hell of a path.
The defender of Jakku, right? Cook County sheriff to the defender of Jakku. Yeah, I was in the Cook County Sheriff's Department in Chicago. So I trained when I was in training. I trained under the SWORT team, which is the Special Operations Response Team. So, Chicago is a pretty, well, I'm sure as everybody knows, you know, you're talking about crime city. And so the Cook County Sheriffs, we were based on 26th and Kedzie. Like it's, that is like down home, you know, like Chicago. So we were based there, and then the training academy was in Melrose Park. So it was cool though, because I got to be, you know, I was a sheriff, Cook County sheriff. And then, I got to train the incoming cadets, at the training academy through their physicals. So that was cool too, because that was, you know, that's an honor to be able to train when they come through, you know, these guys come through once a week and they want to be a sheriff, and you put them through their physicals and everything else. And it's, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there. So, you know, the camaraderie is a great thing, and a lot that I learned from being involved there. But yeah, going back to the question about weapons, I had professional weapon training for sure.
No wonder you look like such a natural, and it really shows up on that glorious IMAX screen, doesn't it?
Yeah, what was so funny was that when how I got chosen for the shot was J.J. Abrams had, you know, first he had all the guys come on set, and then he had them pick up weapons, and then he chose X amount of guys, and he, like, you know, said, okay, like, just go to the side here. Then he brought up the girls, and then so we, you know, lifted up weapons, and he looked right at me and he's like, oh my God, you look like you're gonna kill me. And I was nervous because I thought, oh my God, is he going to fire me? Like, this is like, I thought, oh great. First they didn't want me. Now he's going to fire me as a supporting actor.
Yeah. It could have been, maybe you thought he was going to do that Hitchcock thing of fire someone on the first day to show a tough.
Oh my God. Right. I was like, oh Lord. And then, the next thing you know, he pulled me aside and all of a sudden just gave me this scene. And I just, it was mind blowing. And it was totally mind blowing. And I think he was beside himself when he found out I was actually Cook County Sheriff, because he couldn't believe it. You know, he looked at me like, no, like it couldn't be true. Like the one girl I pick, who I see, you know, who I thought was going to kill me with a rifle because she knew how to pick up a gun. Now, all of a sudden, I found out she's the Cook County Sheriff. And it was just like a very cool moment.
Well, in a movie that really celebrates the empowerment of the female character, he couldn't have made a better choice for the first woman you see on screen in a new movie, could he?
Why, thank you. That's thank splendid. You very much.
Well, you like the new Boba Fett almost, the fan base you're getting.
Ah, oh, they're amazing. I mean, you know, you always hear about, and I've growing up, you know, I've always heard about Star Wars fans. I've always been a fan myself, you know, but let's think going back all those years too, you know, all this social media wasn't available either way. So I know all the conventions and everything, you know, obviously always existed, but this to me is just to be involved in it and then to have that interaction with fans. Like, it's just, it's such a blessing, and it's so exciting because I've now started getting, like, they ask me questions about, you know, girls ask me questions about, like, hair and makeup, and, you know, boys ask me questions about, oh my God, you know, what was the trigger on the gun this way, or how was it that, like, every single detail, and they're so up to par on every single detail. I mean, I went to a dinner party the other night, and I got bombarded by, like, three little boys who were like, oh my God, so how were the stormtroopers, and how did that look, and what was that, and was that on GI, or was that on blue screen, or was that...
Yeah.
and you just go, oh my God. So the idea of one day hopefully meeting, you know, God willing, on these convention circuits and everything, meeting these people in person, you know, for me, that would be the biggest coup, because they're the best fans in the world. The fans are what have made this movie number one, you know?
Yeah, and I think... It is. We are obviously we're the fandom, so we are the blood that flows through it. But you guys, you're the heart that's beating. So, I mean, I saw you and I heard you on Rebel Force Radio, and I got impressions of Vanessa Marshall from Star Wars Rebels. The way you're in it, but you're celebrating it and you're enthusiastic about it as well. And that should be applauded and it should be congratulated, because that's why we gravitate towards these things. You know, it's a family.
It is a family, and I thank you for saying that. I consider myself very lucky. I mean, it was, you know, people always talk about luck, timing, and talent, or, you know, that type of thing. It was luck and timing, being at the right place, I guess, at the right time, and then finally when you were asked to do something, you did it, and you did it, like, for even if the 2 seconds, to the best of your ability, and then the reaction was just, has been great. Like, people are, it's so funny, these tweets I get, like, people are like just digging the chick with the rifle.
Yeah.
You know, they're digging it, and I just love it. I love them. They're amazing.
Well, we never would have thought we'd been talking to the chick with the rifle 4 weeks ago after watching it for the first time. That's really surreal.
Well, yeah, about it from my perspective too, from the opposite side, I would never think that I'd be talking Star Wars with anybody, you know what I mean? I thought to me I'd be talking, like, you know, recipes or how to become a Cook County Sheriff.
Yeah, well, we did a bit of, we hit a bit on a bit of that, didn't we? Jeremy, you got a question?
Yeah,
I have. Are you gonna get a figure, as in a toy?
I don't know. Listen, I hope so. I think, you know, believe it or not, you know, it's in the hands of the big guys, but I think it's in the hands too of the fans. If the fans keep asking and wanting it, then I think sooner or later, you know, that's inevitably what happens, right?
We bombarded with tweets for that then.
wouldn't it be great? Are you joking? An action figure. That would be brilliant.
We'll start a poll for that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll get that going. Yeah, that'll be up on the site first thing tomorrow morning.
I would literally just continuously play with myself if I had an action figure.
Gloria, I apologise for Steve.
And there we have it. And there
Foxter's mind. I was being literal then.
Steve, you've actually got a question that isn't smutty.
Oh, well, then I don't want to say it. No. You've already touched on this, Gloria. You said about how you couldn't say a jot about being in the film, which is totally understandable. But how soon after, you know, after knowing you were going to be in it, could you talk about it? And did you ever sort of come across a situation where
someone you know was talking about The Force Awakens, and you casually dropped in that you were in it, and what did they do? Did they freak out, or did that situation never happen?
No, I was. We were able to talk about it. When I say we, you know, like my husband and I, because, you know, granted, I mean, you know, you go out to dinner, and then people are talking about Star Wars, or, you know, this is before it opened, and you were like, oh, I can't say nothing. Like, we can't tell anybody.
So not even until it opened, you couldn't say anything?
No. No, you just, I mean, I think you got to the point where you were so used to not saying it to anybody that you just, you figured, we waited this long, why blow it now? So it wasn't until afterwards where then you go, like, I can actually speak up and say, yeah, this is, you know, we're in it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important that I point out at this stage that if there are any casting agents listening now, I would be a steel trap. So I think I'm a shoo-in for the next movie.
Yeah,
all of us.
You know, but the casting agents that truly that, you know, that casted for this, you know, they really are the best agents. I mean, because what happens is, you know, they're really, they get the big films. They know the you know, they know people within the industry, but they are very good with making it rules to where, you know, they pick the right people and they make sure that you don't say anything. I mean, because then you just, you know, you just ruin everything. Like, why ruin something that everybody is excited about it and everybody works really hard on?
You wouldn't risk it, would you? Like, you know, I would definitely be able to keep that secret. Just knowing that I was in it, I'd be sort of dancing on my own little world, yeah. I think.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I was, you know, that I had to wait for, you know, over a year is, you know, is this scene in or isn't it in?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You always go, oh, I wonder if it's going to make it in the movie. And I know when he directed me in it and he was explaining it and then he personally directed me. And then after we shot it, he called me behind the camera and he let me watch it with him. And you could tell he was so stoked about it. He was so excited. But then you go, God, there's going to be a gazillion other of these moments where he's thrilled about what's happening, especially with the main celebrities. Like, it's, you know, it's so, but it goes to show you how incredible of a person he is to be so, like, visibly excited in front of all of his, you know, ADs and producers and everybody else, to be excited about a supporting actor that he just directed for a second shot.
What a generous guy.
It goes to show you the way he is. Like, he's just an incredible human being. And so he was just as excited about my clip that he was when I saw him excited about everybody else's, you know?
I mean, Mark was saying last night about how episode 8, you know, they're rewriting that as an example of, you know, things that are being cut out because Rey and Finn are going to be in it more because they were so well received, particularly Finn, I believe, Mark, right?
Yeah, they're building up the Finn and the Rey characters in the rewrites been reading, yeah.
Mm. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure people fell in love with them.
Absolutely.
You know, what's not to fall in love with? It's like they are the newbie, the newfound characters, you know, that were handpicked by JJ. So they, you know, they're, people love them. People love them. People love them.
Mm. I think they're a big part of the success of the film as well.
Pardon me?
They're a big part of the success of the film. They're such likeable characters.
Oh my God, yeah, they absolutely are.
Did you get to spend much time with the principal cast on the set?
No, you know what? We were, I mean, Anthony Daniels had come on set whilst we were there, but he didn't film while we were there, you know, other than like, and then Max and then Oscar Isaac was on set. So we were always working with him because, you know, too, then I protect Poe.
You do. You give him his out, don't you? You save his life.
I protect Poe. So when everybody asks me, am I dead yet? I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't think so. And then I always laugh because I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I want to come back. And, you know, can Poe at least come and thank me? You know.
So did you film you didn't film a death scene then of you being shot?
Well, we kind of did all as the villagers, but you don't really see. You don't really see what's really happening. That's what I'm saying. I think the Jakku villagers is still, like, very mysterious on exactly what's happening.
Because you're all in a ring in the middle, aren't you? And then you just see the laser blast, but you don't actually see them getting
killed. Yeah, exactly.
Were you standing by your husband at that point? Were you together?
We were.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. We went out like together.
Like, almost like real
Bonnie
life.
And Clyde.
Yeah, like Bonnie and Clyde.
Playing a married couple, but you're just in your own minds. In Jackie,
you know what? They had us play next to each other in quite a bit.
Okay.
They would play us together in a lot.
Okay.
Did we see him getting led off? He had his hands on his head and he got shoved by a stormtrooper. Was that your husband?
No.
Oh, I'll cut that bit out because I look stupid now.
No, but at one point they've got Poe that they're doing that to. Remember, he's got his hands up behind his head.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think Mark sees things that even JJ hasn't seen, like in the background.
Yeah, Steve, mostly because I'm making that stuff up, mate.
But yeah, I mean, I would say that Adam Driver was on when we were on, Oscar Isaac for sure, and then Gwendolyn Christie. Who boy, she is one tall girl. Like, she came on set and you go, oh my God, you think to yourself, no wonder she's like the top of the top of the top in Game of Thrones. Like, no wonder she is the loved person, because she's just like, again, her presence, just like Max, is just like, you go, wow, that is just cool. She's just cool.
Yeah. And did you see her on set with your scenes or just hanging around elsewhere? Because she's not actually on the... Am I right? Is that... She's not actually on the planet
She told them to shoot them.
Yeah, oh, right. Remember? Yes. Yeah. And she's got the beautiful silver from head to toe.
I've only seen it twice. Jeremy's seen it 97 times.
Yeah, but Steve, you only just saw it last night.
Watched it for the first time last night. You've seen it before, so but last night you watched it.
Captain Phasma.
Yeah, so she's the one. So imagine her coming on set with this beautiful silver, like, you just go, oh my God.
Did you, before you shot those scenes, did you see much of a script for it? Or was it all done on the soundstage?
No, we didn't. So it was all done on the soundstage, you know. I mean, I'm sure obviously they had their scripts and, they had an idea of what and where we were going to go and what we were doing. But we didn't, as supporting actors, we did not. Yeah, we just, you know.
They keep those things locked down, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. But talk about a well-oiled machine, but yet something that there was always a sense of magic to it every time you stepped on set, you know. I mean, it's just, it's magical. It's a magical place to be.
I bet. Actually, that's a good place to drop this other listener question in. It's another question from Rob. He wanted to know what was more exciting to work on. I think we know the answer. Star Wars or James Bond?
Oh, Star Wars.
That was a good James answer on a Star Wars podcast.
You know, I don't want to compare, but I mean, you know, James Bond, you're talking about still a living legend, a movie, a complete spectacle where you go, oh my God, like, you know, the budgets are there, the story is there, all the gadgets are there, all the, you know, it is like the spy, the best spy movie you can be on. But even in that, you know, I didn't get a feature on that, but still, it was still a great set to be on, you know. But as far as like the magnitude of the sets and everything in Star Wars, that was just incredible. So yeah, I mean, Star Wars for sure. It's like, you know, the scenes in Spectre were much more contained, the ones that I was personally on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't, the set was not of the magnitude, anywhere near the magnitude of what Star Wars was. I mean, that one, when you walk into the Star Wars set and you're outside and it is like you almost feel like that is your home and you're living on the village. It's that much of a difference. You go, my God, this is just incredible.
I think you said it, Gloria, but did you say a month that you was involved for?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we were shooting nights. So, you know, think about it. We were shooting nights and then we're there till maybe, you know, 3-4 in the morning. And so these were long days for everybody. I mean, so, you know, bless them, I'm sure the likes, I mean, JJ and all those guys and all the producers, all the ADs, you know, they were with the celebrities all day or with the main characters and then doing that all day. And then we were coming in late. So, I mean, they just kept going. I mean, what an incredible bunch. And they made it fun. I mean, we laughed a lot. Like, we laughed a lot on set, which was the best, you know. So everywhere from, you know, when we were all, you know, eating to our breaks to working, you know, it was a blast. It was never boring.
I'm so jealous.
No one would ever complain because it was just fun.
When I'm going to work tomorrow and I'm inputting numbers into a spreadsheet, I'm not going to remember you favourably. You know that, yeah. Gloria. You're like, bloody Gloria.
I got really lucky, and for that, I'm very thankful.
Well,
very thankful.
I just wonder if you're prepared for what's coming next. I mean, you know, this Star Wars thing, your character is going to live on indefinitely now in expanded universe stories, in comic books and novels.
That would be absolutely incredible. You know, I'm unnamed at this point, and we'll see what pans out via the fans and via, you know, just, I mean, the interaction and everything else. It's like, you know, but all I can say is it's been a blast. No pun intended.
Well, we'll start a vote for you. Name the Jakku defender.
That would be awesome.
Let's see if we can get something done.
And we'll get that rifle named as well. The Santi 11.
Right? Did you see that?
Yeah.
How sweet was that? That somebody wrote that. Yeah. How sweet was that? Santi 11. I love it. Well, but it goes to show you the interaction with the fans and how cool they are. It's like, to go ahead and do that, you just go, oh my God. Like,
we'll be pestering,
you know,
Pablo.
It's out of love, care, and concern, and like just like feeling proud of Star Wars, you know?
I mean, it sounds like you are one of those fans who happens to be in it as well.
Well, I love it. I mean, how could you, like, it's like the coolest thing to be a fan and then and be in the movie. I mean, you just go, God, like, anybody would, you know, people keep sending me like texts going, God, I'm feeling a little jealous. I go, don't worry, I did it for all of us.
So, as you are a fan, I'm going to do the thing that we ask most people. What order do you like the Star Wars films in? 7, obviously, is your favourite. But where would you rank 1 to 6 after that?
I hate to say it, but I'd have to do them in order.
Really?
Well, as order...
Yeah.
Or
you gotta understand. I mean, I was watching the beginning of Star Wars when you guys were watching the beginning of Star Wars. Cool. So for so for me,
in release order.
So 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7.
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very diplomatic, Gloria.
And the Phantom, I love the Phantom Menace. I gear towards Phantom Menace because my buddy's in Phantom Menace too.
Who's that?
Jerome Blake is in Phantom Menace, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's played several characters, so yeah, he's a cool guy.
Another returning actor then, so hopefully that bodes well for you, and we'll see you hopefully in one of the new movies.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That's the beauty of Star Wars, you can always put on makeup and a costume and away you go.
That would be amazing. With the rifle name, a name, and a thank you from Poe. No.
Yeah, that's what you want. A bunch of roses and a bottle of bubbly from Poe. So what's up for you next, Gloria?
Well, I'm involved in my studies now. I study at the Poor School, drama school here in London.
Right.
So I'm involved in my studies there, and then I had a small part, a very small part, in The Infiltrator, which is going to be out this year as well. And that was directed by Brad Furman, and Bryan Cranston is in that, and Diane Kruger, and that was that's a true story.
Okay.
So, but again, you know, it's one of those things, guys, where I don't know until it comes out if I'm in it or not, because, you know, the editing process goes on for a year or then some, and so you just never know what they're going to pull and what will work, and you know, that type of thing. So you can only hope that something like that, you know, comes up.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it's studying away.
Studying and being a part of Star Wars fandom.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, Gloria, on the internet? Where can they come to celebrate with you, congratulate you?
It's at Gloria Santi 11.
On Twitter.
That's the Twitter page, yeah.
Okay, I'll pop a link into the description of this show so that people can find you easier.
So it says it says Gloria Garcia, but then it's at Gloria Santi, which is S-A-N-T-I, and then the number 11.
Super. Right, we'll direct people your way.
That is great.
Gloria, you've been an absolute delight, and congratulations on everything.
Likewise, and let me know when you're in my part of town, because we're going to hit the Lounge Theater for some martinis to watch it again.
I'm on my way to the car now.
It's a date. Definitely.
Okay, thank you, Gloria, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, Gloria.
Thanks, Gloria.
Bye. Nay,